the Word of God for the people of God. Here ends the reading from Mark chapter 1. I invite you now to turn with me to the Word of God. The Word of God summarized for us in Lord's Day 26 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 26, you'll find this on page 33. Page 33 in the back of the Psalter hymnal. I ask that you follow along as I read for you this morning both the questions and the answers from this Lord's Day, the first dealing with the sacrament of baptism. The question is asked, how does baptism remind you and assure you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross is for you personally? The answer is in this way. Christ instituted this outward washing, and with it gave the promise that as surely as water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and his spirit wash away my soul's impurity. In other words, all my sins. The question is asked, what does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood and spirit? And we profess, to be washed with Christ's blood means that God, by grace, has forgiven my sins because of Christ's blood poured out for me in his sacrifice on the cross. To be washed with Christ's Spirit means that the Holy Spirit has renewed me and set me apart to be a member of Christ, so that more and more I become dead to sin and increasingly live a holy and blameless life. And then finally, the question is asked, where does Christ promise that we are washed with his blood and spirit as surely as we are washed with the water of baptism? And the answer that we profess is in the institution of baptism, where he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. This promise is repeated when Scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. Here ends the reading of the Catechism. May the Lord bless this to our hearts. I commend this to your further study and reflection and devotional reading in the course of the week to come. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Catechism draws our attention again to that important subject of the sacraments. And I have a particular burden this morning. I have a particular burden because I'm concerned as a pastor, as a teacher and preacher of the Word of God, that we as a congregation fully appreciate what the Lord has done for us this morning in the sacraments. Last Lord's Day, we celebrated the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. This morning, we witness baptism, the sign and seal of God's covenant grace, administered to one of the covenant youth, an infant child of the congregation. And so we turn our attention to Lord's Day 26, and I want you to follow carefully with me the first two questions and answers in particular. The first really deals with the sign and seal. What do we mean by a sign? What do we mean by a seal? What's being portrayed? What's being proclaimed? What's being confirmed this morning? And then secondly, is really an explanation of the first question and answer. What's happening? What is being declared? It is really the work of salvation. First of all, accomplished by Jesus Christ. And secondly, applied by Christ through his Holy Spirit. But before I turn this morning to those two questions and answers in particular, I want to address the burden that I have. And the burden is that I want you to see how the Lord intends the sacrament this morning. This font. To be a source of blessing and comfort to you. And I was reminded of that this past week when I was reading and discussing with a colleague of mine, Professor Mark Beach from Mid-America Reform Seminary, who a number of years ago wrote a very interesting article about recapturing the importance of the sacraments in the church today. I'm not going to rehearse what he writes in the article. You can read it for yourself. But one of the things that he pointed out that I so appreciated and it struck home for me is that even among many Reformed people, let alone broadly evangelical people, for many Reformed people, I mean people like you and me, There is, I think, a diminished appreciation of the sacraments, the Lord's Supper and baptism. Now, why would I say that? I say that because of attitudes that we might have about the sacraments. Perhaps there are those among us this morning, perhaps some of you this morning, look at the font as just another ritual. It's the ceremony that we perform, and you may think perhaps that the focus is upon the baby, the focus is upon the family. It's really a family event. It's nice for the Vanderwood family, the Lanting family, to be here this morning to witness it. But it really has nothing to say to me personally. Some people might think that. You might think that. There are others who think that the real focus this morning in the sacrament is upon a baby. And you may say to yourself, why would we focus upon a baby when, after all, this baby is passive in the sacraments? Steve brought his son to the font. There was no profession of faith made by this little baby. I'll say more about that next Lord's Day with the question of why do we baptize infants? There are many people who look at that and say, how strange. How can you possibly do that when you have not heard a profession of faith? But you see, that very question presupposes a view of the sacraments which is completely contrary to what God says in His Word. What is the focus this morning upon the sacrament? Is it first of all upon the child or the recipient of baptism? Is the focus upon someone's profession of faith? Someone making the claim to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? I tell you, the answer is no. The focus is upon the work of our sovereign covenant God. And don't ever forget that. That's why we can bring a baby to the font. Because the focus is not upon what a baby may or may not say. Little Jonathan can't say anything other than cry or make some other noises. But what a beautiful demonstration of the very nature of the gospel. Just like a father, just like Steve bringing a baby, his son, to the font, so you and I are brought to the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're carried into the kingdom. Why? Because in our own strength we cannot do it. And I never grow tired of saying that. And I hope you never grow tired of hearing that. So that what we saw this morning was something done to proclaim that great truth of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus says, do not hinder the children, for to such belong the kingdom of heaven. And Steve and Allison were asked this morning, do you believe that our children, though fallen in sin, are members of the church, of the covenant of Jesus Christ, and therefore, as members of His covenant, ought to be baptized? Let me emphasize that word, ought. It's an imperative. And we do it not just out of tradition, not just out of ritual, and certainly not out of superstition. We do it because we believe God intends this promise to be given even to little infant children. That's worth celebrating this morning. It's worth defending too, I might add. That this is not something we easily dismiss or that we easily leave behind. Those of us who are office bearers, we say, we defend this. And we will defend against those who contradict it. Why? Because the very gospel is at stake this morning. But there's something else I have a burden for. I have a burden this morning that you see this as a congregational or a communal blessing, the sacrament of baptism. We saw on the last Lord's Day, why has the Lord instituted sacraments? Is it because His Word is incomplete? Is it because His Word is unclear about the nature of salvation, what God has done through His Son, Jesus Christ, and applied by His Spirit? The answer is no. It's not because of any deficiency on God's part. But the Lord has given us the sacraments because, remember, the weakness of our faith. Our faith is frail, like a bruised reed, like a smoldering flax, and the Lord will not crush it. The Lord will not extinguish it, but the Lord will come and He'll nurture, He'll strengthen. It's a sign of His loving care, of His tenderness, of His willingness to condescend. I mean, isn't that the whole point of the incarnation of Jesus Christ? Rather than leaving us in our sin, God Himself assumed human form, human weakness. You need to understand this morning that this sacrament was administered for your benefit as well as for mine. So don't leave here this morning thinking, well, it was nice to witness this. I feel happy for the Vanderwood family. I feel happy for little Jonathan. But this has nothing to say to me. I want to tell you, it has everything to say to you. I'm thinking again of what my colleague, Dr. Beach, wrote when he spoke of the fact, and I mentioned this last Sunday, how the Lord, in His providence, in His wisdom, binds Himself to means. Think about that. The Lord could have simply spoken, and salvation could have occurred. But He binds Himself to the Word, to the preaching, the proclamation of the Word. And He binds Himself to the sacraments, to the water of baptism, the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper. He does that so that His grace might be proclaimed visibly to you and to me. And the point of Dr. Beach's article was to say, we ought to regain an appreciation for that because there are many people who simply dismiss that, who dismiss it, and who will say that the only point of the sacraments is to remember. We remember our sinfulness. We remember our Lord Jesus suffering in His death. But I want to tell you again, from the Catechism, the sacraments mean so much more, so much more. But what we face is a legacy and a history, even in Reformed churches, of pietism. Pietism says that my faith is confirmed, first of all, by my personal subjective experience. You ask me how I know He lives? You ask me how I know that Jesus lives? He lives within my heart. And it's a favorite hymn of many people. But it's entirely subjective. You see, many people waiting to have their faith confirmed by some subjective, personal, emotional experience, when in fact the Bible says, no, if you put your hope in that, if you base your faith upon that sort of experience, it will rise and it will fall. And ultimately you will be deeply disappointed. God has given us the sacraments. He's given us the preaching of the Word as well, in order to bind Himself to these means as a source of blessing to you. So what you saw this morning was the proclamation of the gospel for your benefit. It's no surprise then to me, if you have that robust understanding, biblical understanding of the sacraments, you can understand why Luther, who suffered throughout his life from spiritual depression, would often comfort and strengthen himself by saying, I have been baptized. Do you talk like that? When your faith seems to falter, when your faith is struggling, do you remind yourself, I have been baptized. I have received the sign and seal of God's covenant grace. I have been incorporated into the body of Jesus Christ. I have been baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Let's look more carefully this morning at those two questions and answers from the Catechism. First of all, God's covenant promise, says the Catechism, is signified and sealed. This outward washing. That's why I had the boys and girls look at that washing. And remember, this is the visible proclamation of the gospel. Because of our own sinfulness, our own weakness, it is a reminder of God's compassion towards His people. But what is proclaimed to us? First of all, and the formulary strikes says this exactly right, we are reminded through water that we are conceived and born in sin. I love to tell the story of R.C. Sproul when he was a guest pastor one Sunday and the sacrament of baptism was to be administered. And it was a practice in that church to give the parents, the mother in particular, a white rose. And R.C. Sproul asked the question, why do you give the mother or the parents a white rose? And the elders said, well, that was to emphasize the purity of that child. And R.C. looked at that elder and said, well, then tell me, what does the water mean? The water implies that we are conceived and born in sin. Again, not just that we commit particular sins, but that we are born in a condition. We receive through Adam and Eve's fall into sin a sinful nature. And the promise given to us, the seal given to us, is that there is forgiveness of sins. Notice again what the Catechism says to us this morning. The question here is very personal. It's not theoretical. It's not something that you might be given on an examination. It's a personal question, like an elder making a visit in your home and looking at you square in the face and saying, now tell me, how is it with you? How is it with you and the Lord? The question is asked, how does baptism remind you and assure you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross, notice, is not just a real historical event? One can say it's a real historical event without really believing the truth that was accomplished, but rather that one sacrifice on the cross is for you personally. Were you assured of that this morning in the sacrament congregation? When you saw Jonathan receive the sign and seal, were you assured beyond a shadow of a doubt, not looking first of all at yourself, finding assurance within your own subjective feelings, because those feelings can easily deceive us? But did you see in the water the Lord saying to you, Jesus Christ has covered all of your sins? In this way, says the Catechism, Christ instituted this outward washing and with it gave the promise that as surely as water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and his spirit wash away my soul's impurity. In other words, all my sins. The font was not proclaiming something different than the gospel, mind you. The Bible gives us all that we need to know about the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. But again, because of the weakness of our faith, because our eyes are often so dim and don't see these things clearly, the Lord, rather than rebuking us, rather than reprimanding us, says, okay, I give you my word, I will confirm the same in the sacrament this morning. We come with the heavy burden upon our shoulders. We come confessing our sins. What is the assurance that your sins are forgiven? Is it simply a subjective feeling in your own heart? No. It is that divine proclamation. All your sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Signified, but also sealed. Also sealed. That's why the sacrament this morning is not, first of all, it's not primarily a matter of what I declare to God. It is what God declares to me, which is what makes this such a wonderful event in our congregation's life. Signified and sealed. And then secondly, God's covenant promise is accomplished and applied through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the question is asked, following up on the first, what does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood and spirit? And I could answer that very simply in theological language by saying, what's signified and sealed to you is, first of all, justification. What is justification? The forgiveness of sins? The imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Not only am I washed of my sins, but I am declared righteous on the basis of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which I receive by faith. That number one. And then the second part of that answer says, I also have been assured, it's been signified and sealed to me, that Christ not only washes away my sins, But I am given new life. Sanctification. Sanctification was proclaimed this morning. Notice, to be washed with Christ's blood means that God, by grace, has forgiven my sins because of Christ's blood poured out for me in the sacrifice on the cross. Our formulary states it so beautifully, doesn't it? You heard this morning, boys and girls, the proclamation that I made. Jonathan Owen Vanderwood, I baptize you into the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Did you hear what the formulary says about the meaning of that statement? I'll read it for you again. For when we are baptized into the name of the Father, God the Father, notice this language, it's all about what God is declaring. He witnesses and seals unto us that He makes an eternal covenant of grace with us and adopts us for His children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. What are we declaring this morning? God is for us. Because of Jesus Christ, He is for us and will avert all evil or turn it to our profit. He says that to you this morning. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son seals unto us that He washes us in His blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of His death and resurrection, so that we are freed from our sins and accounted righteous before God. That's the answer of the Catechism as well, is it not? The forgiveness of sins, spoken of already in Eden, that there would be forgiveness. And throughout the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, you have this vivid imagery that the soul that sins, it shall die. But there is forgiveness. There's forgiveness through the shedding of blood. Ultimately fulfilled, we believe, in Jesus Christ. Which is why, as we sang this morning, but water seals the blessing now that once was sealed with blood. We witnessed a bloodless ceremony. We didn't circumcise the baby. We poured water upon the baby because Jesus Christ not only was circumcised as a baby, He underwent the ultimate circumcision, as Paul says to the Colossians. He underwent the judgment of God on our behalf so that we might be declared righteous before Him. That's what it means to be washed in Christ's blood. But then also, says the Catechism, we've been washed with Christ's Spirit. Notice the latter part of answer number 70. To be washed with Christ's Spirit means that the Holy Spirit has renewed me and set me apart to be a member of Christ, so that more and more I become dead to sin and increasingly live a holy and blameless life. We call that sanctification. Sanctification. Not only are my sins forgiven, but a new principle of life is at work in me. I am no longer under the slavery, under the dominion of sin. And there's two parts in terms of explaining what that means. First of all, it means that more and more, now that the Spirit of Christ lives within me, I die to sin. I die to its sinful dominion. And then I also come to live a life more and more after the image, the likeness, the pattern of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what our formulary says as well? Did you catch that this morning? I want to emphasize that again. Third, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism, notice, admonished of and obliged unto new obedience. The two go hand in hand, don't they? God has declared to us the gift of grace. But the gift of grace is not given to us, as Paul in Romans chapter 6, so that we would continue sinning, thinking that grace will abound. You think about that in terms of an illustration like a person watching a child fall into a lake and about ready to drown, or in quicksand. And the more that the child flails his arms and legs, the deeper he goes into the quicksand. But someone comes along and rescues him and pulls him out of the quicksand. how silly it would be, how utterly ridiculous it would be if the person who pulls him out of the quicksand would say, go jump back in again. No, says the Bible. No, says the Catechism. We have been redeemed from the dominion of sin so that we would live a life pleasing to God. Pleasing to God. Does this make us careless and reckless in our faith? The Catechism asks elsewhere. And the answer is no. For it is impossible for those who have been renewed by the Spirit of God not to produce the fruits of righteousness. You see, this is the connection then, boys and girls, between the font, what was administered this morning for your benefit to little Jonathan, and what happens every Sunday and throughout the week, but especially as you are taught catechism, as you are taught from the preaching of the Word, it's always with a view towards you making profession of your faith. That's the connection. And that's why Stephen Allison made the promise as well, that they would seek to nurture this little child in the fear of the Lord. In the fear of the Lord. I think that's very beautifully described for us, by the way, in our scripture reading from the Gospel according to Mark and the account of the baptism of Jesus. Does it strike you as odd this morning when you read that account that Jesus himself was baptized with the baptism of John, the baptism unto repentance? Have you ever thought about that? Why does Jesus have to undergo that? Jesus, who is perfect, sinless, without blemish, why does he have to be baptized in the Jordan River? On the one hand, as Jesus enters the muddy banks of the Jordan River, he appears as the one who will be our sin bearer. And he undergoes that baptism, not simply as some isolated individual, but he undergoes that baptism as the sin bearer, as the one who is our substitute. He bears our sins. And already at the very outset of his ministry, he makes it very clear to those around him and to John the Baptizer that he has come to seek and to save the lost. It's a beautiful picture. But there's also another side to this. As he comes out of the water after being baptized, the heavens open. The Father says, this is my beloved Son. He says to Jesus, with you I am well pleased. Think about this as well. This is the eternal God. This is the one who has enjoyed the Father's fellowship from all eternity. This is the one who is perfect in every respect. He is the one in whom we are incorporated. To be baptized, you see, is to be identified with Jesus Christ. It is to have a new identity. It is to be made a new creature. Not by the performance of some ritual, mind you, but this is the work of the Holy Spirit, signified and sealed to us in our baptism. This is the one who imparts life to us and blessing to us. So let me return this morning to that burden that I have. Are you convinced this morning that the sacrament was administered for your benefit, for your blessing, to strengthen your weakened faith, to help you along like a father helps a baby? A toddler learning how to walk, he grasps the hand and he carries, as it were, that child along as that child takes the first footsteps. This is what the Lord is doing to us and for us this morning in the sacraments. How are you personally assured? How are you personally blessed? We don't look to some inward subjective experience, because I tell you that will always disappoint you. Instead, we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, our righteousness, our sanctification. We are washed in his blood. We are washed with his Spirit, so that you might be assured that salvation is for you, your children, and all your descendants after you. That promise signified and sealed this morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that in your tender mercy you have bound yourself to these means, the means of grace, the preaching of the word, the sacraments, in order to bolster our weak faith, our faltering faith, to direct our attention, our gaze, not to ourselves inwardly, but to you, to the word of truth, the word of promise. May that word truly comfort us and bless us as we travel this pilgrim way with all of its attendant difficulties and dangers. May we know that in the end, you will guide us by the hand, as it were, till we reach the promised land. So bless us as a congregation for Jesus' sake. Amen. We respond to the word of God this morning.